Yes.
Thanks, Bill. If you could take your Bibles, go back to where we started tonight in Revelation chapter 5. My intention tonight is to use a lot of scripture, stay out of the way of it, not to confuse things. That's hard for me to do sometimes. I'm timing myself because a couple days ago I did a devotion for one of the Bible clubs and I was given 10 minutes. And I talked to my wife afterwards and she said I took 20. So I'm trying to work on that even though I've been doing... Security, escort this guy out. All right. Why don't we bow our heads and pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for just your blessings of the opportunity to open up your word. And Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy to receive praise and honor and glory. And Lord, we're going to talk about some of the reasons why you're worthy and some of our responses, what they should be. Lord, I pray that you bless now, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so as we read tonight, we have this scene from the book of Revelation, and John is there in heaven witnessing all this come to pass, and God is sitting on the throne in the very beginning there, and he's got basically the seven seal judgments sitting in his hand in a scroll, and the Bible calls it a book, but if we take this period of time, we think of a scroll, and it's sealed up with seven seals. And John sees a strong angel, and he's crying out with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" John states that no man, whether be living or dead, and he referred to it as in heaven or on earth or under the earth, he couldn't find anybody. And he starts to weep about it, and he goes on and on. And finally, someone tells John, actually, I should take a step back. One of the things that always impresses me about this passage, and by the way, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, is in here, John can't even find anybody that could look on the book or on the scroll. So imagine this is the scroll that's going to become the judgment on mankind. Finally, someone, an elder, tells John, "You don't have to weep any longer. There is one who is worthy." The elder states who it is. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So we have that picture in our mind, this lion, fierce lion. All of a sudden, John looks, and what's he see? He sees the Lamb of God, the one who was slain for all the sins of the world. This Lamb, Jesus, is truly worthy. Tonight, I want to basically simple reminder to all of us of Jesus' worthiness and what our response to that worthiness should be. So as I typically do, if I find a word that I want to dwell on for a period of time, I look it up in my Webster's dictionary, and a definition of word, they had three different areas that they touch upon. Someone who is deserving, someone having worth or excellence, or someone having qualities. And obviously, Jesus meets or surpasses this definition. So, first couple of things I want to hear are scripture that backs why Jesus is worthy. Number one, now this is not a complete list by any stretch of the imagination, but number one, Jesus is worthy because he has created all things. Let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I'm going to start in verse 14. We'll go to verse 16. It says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." So Jesus created us. The Bible tells us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's in God's eyes. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And Jesus knew us before we were born. He knew all of our days of our lives before we even executed on any of them. And the other, if I read further, if we were to count the number of thoughts he has towards us, they'd be more than the grains of sand in the world. Think about that love. Let's go to John chapter 1. A lot of us can quote this. I'm going to read the first three verses of John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So if we look at, we focus on verse 1 there, we see the word is capitalized. And a lot of us, when we witness to people, will go to this verse and will basically say, well, why would you only capitalize something? And that's in the case of a person, place, or thing. In this case, usually we would take that and say, okay, substitute Jesus in for the word. We find out in verse 3 that he created all things. Also, if we go to Revelation 4:11, this sums it up in a nutshell. Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Simply put, Jesus created all things. So not only did Jesus create, he's worthy because he created all things, he's worthy because he's our provider and sustainer. Let's go to Matthew 6:31. Matthew 6:31. Jesus is our provider. It says here in Matthew 6:31, says, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He's provided for all of our needs. He tells us not to just simply not worry about them. If we looked at Philippians 4:19, it tells us that God supplies all our needs. John, let's go to John 4. John 4, verse 14 says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Sin will make us come back to that sin over and over and over again. But once we go to Jesus, we only need, how do I phrase this? We understand what the benefit of that spiritual water is, and it's once and it's everlasting. So not only is Jesus worthy because he's provider and sustainer, but he's also worthy because he's given us the Holy Spirit. So, since we're in John, let's scoot over to John 14. John 14, verses 16 and 17. So Jesus has provided us the Holy Spirit. And in verse 16 it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you." So Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit once we're saved. Not only has he given us the Holy Spirit, but he's worthy because he is the only way to salvation. John 14:6, you know, that we're basically in John right there. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. He's telling Thomas that, Thomas this. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the provider of salvation. No other way is there offered other than through Jesus. And if we look at, or if we were to think about Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Jesus, probably should dwell on this for probably a half hour itself, but Jesus is the only way to salvation. I won't dwell on it for a half hour. Lastly, in my list here, Jesus is worthy because he's coming again. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Not only is he going to fulfill this prophecy, but he's going to fulfill all prophecy that still hasn't been fulfilled. So Jesus is worthy because he's created all things, including us. He's our provider and our sustainer. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He is the only way to salvation, and he's coming again. Now we can add his grace, his love, and probably thousands more things. We ought to be grateful for this list, that Jesus has provided these things for us. So what should our response be? He is a worthy Savior. So what should our response be? Again, this is not a complete list, but we all know that the first response should be worship and gratitude. He took our place on the cross. Not to mention what happened prior to or after that, and went to the grave, and he was beaten and bruised and all these things for us. He loved us that much. So we should, out of a grateful heart, worship and give thanks to him. Our response should be one of obedience and faith. I was going to say, let's go to Ephesians 6:1, but we don't have any kids in here to pick on. So, but Hebrews, I think it's, probably already have it here, Hebrews 11:6, if we can go there. I'm going to come back to that verse. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We ought to be, it's impossible to please God without faith. So our response should be worship and gratitude. It should be obedience and faith. It should be something that we should try to improve our relationship or our fellowship with him. God has provided many different things, or several different things here that are important. First is, he's provided his word. He's provided prayer to allow to talk to him. These things benefit us and they help us. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I'm going to read verses 10 and 11 here. So it says, with my whole heart, not part of my heart, but with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And if you look at verse 2 in the same psalm, it says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. We ought to be, it's not just a half-hearted Today I feel like worshiping God. No, this should be with our whole heart, full worship. I kind of look at or liken it to someone put like a marathon runner possibly. Just there's a lot of effort that should be involved. Not it's just something you shouldn't take for granted. It's something that we should all just strive to have a good relationship with God. Memorizing God's word, I dwell on verse 11 a little bit. Memorizing God's word is a provision and a defense against sin. The Bible tells us about God's word in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we don't need to be ashamed if we study his word. And Hebrews 11:6, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Our response, that response would be to improve our fellowship with him. Another response should be one of service. If we go to Romans 12:1, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Minimal service that we should serve God. It's the very least we could do. And the added bonus here is we benefit from serving him. Let's go to Luke 6. Luke 6 and verse 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So we can't outgive God. God just blesses us abundantly. Now, I'll say, especially as I get older, sometimes it becomes more and more difficult to serve. Our flesh gets in the way. There are times where we're tired or we've got so much going on, we just don't have time. But and actually, this past weekend, Mr. Case asked me to do the devotion on Saturday, and I wrestled with God for a little bit of period of time saying, I just got so much going on, I don't want to do it. And finally, God said, you need to do this. And I felt impressed to do it. And it ended up being a huge blessing to go and serve. It always is. You just need to die to flesh. Let's go to Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit have offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works, like being lazy or just not wanting to do it, to serve the living God. Get rid of get the flesh out of the way and just serve. Simple as that. So our response should be not only one of service and one of gratitude and worship, one of faith and obedience, but realize that one day all will confess that Jesus is Lord. If we go to Philippians 2:11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, all will bow and give glory to Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 5. We'll finish up. Revelation 5, starting in verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. So we have millions here. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Beloved, Jesus is truly worthy. He's worthy of our worship, our gratitude, our obedience, our faith. We should do what we can to have closer fellowship with him, and we should do all to serve him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, and you are worthy. Thank you that you came to this earth, went obediently to the cross, and there died for our sins. May we be grateful for that. May we think about these things. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless this prayer time to come. And we also pray that you be with the teens now as they are getting fed the word of God. We pray that all of us would desire just a closer walk with thee. Thank you again for this evening, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.